everybody. This is Dave Morris for Hacker Public Radio. I'm here with my friend Tom Kane, who and we went to FOSDEM at the beginning of February. And I thought it'd be interesting if we were to just get together and have a little chat about our experiences there. It's taken us more than a month to get to this point for various reasons, technical and just the busyness of life and so on. But so be it. But anyway, so we'll give it a try. So, Tom, you'd never been to FOSDEM before, neither had I. What made you want to go?
Well, a number of things. First of all, actually, it was great to know that you were going. Mm-hmm. That was a big thing for me, because I know how knowledgeable you are in this area. But also the idea that thousands of young people who are interested in... mostly young people who are interested in open source software were going to the effort of getting together, but also that a university in Brussels was going to make available space for them to meet and make a whole event out of it, give over lecture rooms and walkways and places to set up food stalls and stands and all that stuff. It was very exciting to know, and must have been done on a shoestring, actually.
It didn't look like... it had cost a vast amount, but it was an amazingly effective setup.
Absolutely.
It didn't have the flashiness of big international conferences. But then, who wants the flashiness?
Because
sometimes it's empty of other stuff when you encounter that. I know you go to quite a lot of conferences, don't you?
Yeah, well,
various sorts.
Yeah.
And but as a thing full of quality, I thought it was an amazing event.
That's the other thing. The quality was very high, and given that it was so specialist, it was amazing that all these very interesting people had found out that it was even there and turned up and had made a big success of it over these years.
Yeah.
So that was a big indicator to me that this was something a little bit special. And these are kind of people that I admire. These are people that I strove to be like when I was younger and still admire. But just for the way they are and what they do.
Yeah. It's quite astonishing how many people who were very active in the various areas were there. They were the developers who were really working on the stuff, which I had not fully appreciated before I went.
Mm.
So, but you had... I just flew over to Brussels from Edinburgh. And it was a fairly simple process for me, fairly early, because there's not many planes go over that way. I had to start off about half past two in the morning. But you had a far more interesting journey across there. Do you want to tell us about how you managed?
Yeah, well, I am... first of all, such a cheapskate. I was thinking this would be great to go see this FOSDEM thing. It just sounds wonderful and mad. But then I just thought, you've got to be careful. So I was lucky enough to see a €16.99 return from Brussels. So I just thought, if you can get back for €17, just find the cheapest way you could possibly get to go there. So unfortunately, the cheapest way that I could find to go there involved taking a bus, first of all, from Edinburgh to London, and then from London right through to the centre of Brussels. The only unfortunate part about that was the first hour. And it was a nice bus, but there wasn't much sleep being done. It was an overnight to the morning to get to Victoria in London by about 6:30. Being in London's great, though. I like that kind of travel. There's a bit of human thing going on, caravan, Sarai thing going on, and the people you meet on the bus. And then what was lovely, though, was when you went on the Channel Tunnel, you went through the bus drives onto the great train and it goes underneath, and you get off at the other end, and then you drive through the flatlands to Belgium and right into Brussels.
That would be interesting.
It was lovely to see.
Yeah, I'd like to do that.
Lovely landscape, yeah.
Sounds
good.
Yeah,
only took 18 hours or something. It was horrific.
It was quite a mammoth undertaking. Do they keep you on the bus when you're going on the train, or do you
yeah, get to... well, it's not a long journey on the train.
Right.
But yes, but no. You can get off and you can walk along even the outside of the bus and you can use facilities that are there.
Okay. Now, I've been on that train, but just as a train passenger rather than I've seen these weird flatbed things that you can drive cars and lorries and stuff onto.
Mm.
Wow, that's quite something. Did you take any pictures by any chance?
I did. In fact, actually, I met some really interesting people on the bus. That was just wonderful.
Yeah.
That's another story.
That's a whole other story. You'll have to tell us more about that some other time. So, anyway, so that was interesting. So we were both there by the Friday with the actual event starting on the Saturday, which I thought was great, actually. I would certainly do that again, get there early, because Brussels is a city well worth wandering around. It's a beautiful place. A little chilly in early February, but still, can't complain. The other thing that I noticed, the other thing I noted to myself was, if you ever go to Fosdem, make sure you stay right through to the end, preferably leave the following day. I know both you and I left on the Sunday, actually before the event had finished. I think there were quite a few interesting things going on into about 5-6 in the evening, and then possibly after, you know, you could have gone and helped dismantle it all if you'd been so inclined. So staying to the end seemed like a desirable thing. If I ever go back, then I'd definitely do that.
Yeah.
But
I think there is something else that was special about that is they got to know each other. Then little links were taking place across these projects, and that was really nice. Because what you get the impression that often they would be going back to places of work where they might be a little bit isolated in a nesting box of some sort.
Yeah.
In this great environment.
Yes, it was a great melting pot, I think, for all sorts of meetings and discussions, as I think many of these sorts of conferences are, but particularly this one.
Mm.
So, so your overall impression was obviously very positive. The venue was great, and obviously the content was brilliant. Mm. But what about talks? Was there anything... What in particular? Because you had actually based yourself outside Brussels, hadn't you? So you were
maybe
not able to get in to the earliest of talks in the morning.
Yeah, no,
because they did start fairly sharp.
They did, actually, and they were pretty full on. Well, I had a couple of things that I was particularly interested in, and one was the tricky area of using video within the Linux environments and sound. I've got this little project of wanting to work with video and sound and record observations about people in the video for educational purposes, so that if you do a real-world link from a classroom to something out in the real world, you've got, if you record that, you've got an object to work with. And the young people who are involved in a link like that can actually talk about cognitive processes within it. So, for instance, if they're engaging with somebody about a question that's to do with politics or an understanding of an issue, that they recognise that that's going on at that point in the clip, and then the teacher can see how deep their understanding is of what was going on and whether or not they've met some curricular requirements. So the use of video in classrooms right now is just... it's just a real future possibility for showing young people the world as it is and for them to be able to comment and question that world. And I was looking to find Linux tools that are robust rather than the commercial tools that you would use. And I think they're starting to come along, but I don't know that they're 100% safe just yet or robust. But it was brilliant to go and see the people, the work that people have been doing with video for Linux, for instance. Stunning amount of work going on with that. The codecs, the amalgamation of different software to cover every form of sound, every form of video, every possible output. Beautiful work from people who are just interested in doing it as a challenge.
Good, yeah.
And hopefully they can monetize it for themselves as well. And they do.
Sure.
But not these gigantic, colossal sums of money that your large organization is trying to make from people.
Yeah, which is very off-putting if you're a small educational establishment
with
very small budgets and so on. Good. Okay. Well, I was going to just mention a few things that I'd been to see, some of the specific talks. I had decided to go along to one of the keynotes. There was a keynote about an exercise which had been undertaken to look for style and grammar errors in the English Wikipedia, which you would think, oh, that must be fairly challenging. Boy, did it sound like it was a challenge, but they seem to have done some amazing work there. Not all of which I understood, I have to admit. It was well worth listening to, that particular talk. There was a few other keynotes that I would have liked to have gone to but didn't get to. But I had on my list of things to see, I wanted to go and see some of the Postgres database stuff, and naively I toddled along to the first one of these, where they were talking about using JSON in Postgres, and it was so full that it was overflowing, and there was no way at all you get in there. So that sort of set the trend a bit. So quite a lot of really interesting looking talks. You either had to be camping out there for an hour beforehand, or you just gave up and went and had a coffee and waited for the videos to come along.
Well, you see, but that's the exciting thing.
Yeah.
That they videoed them.
Yeah,
all,
absolutely.
And so they're all available to people.
And the speed with which they went up was amazing too.
Yeah, that's massive.
You spotted that. Yeah.
Massive.
So, so I ended up aiming to go to talks, and then hopping along to something else instead. I went to listen to a guy talking about a visual editor for Wikipedia, which sounded really good. If you've ever edited wikis, they're not the most pleasant thing to work with, so something visual would be very, very nice. And I also went to talk about the Postfix MTA by its author, Weetse Venema, who was somebody I'd known about for quite some time. He has been a big name in the Unix world for quite some time, and it's quite interesting to hear him talk. That room was, there was enough seats, but they'd chosen one of the biggest rooms, obviously knowing they would have a big turnout for that, and it was really good.
Yeah, well, it was a colossal number of talks, and then hearing you speak there, I remember some of the other ones that really stuck out for me. Databases is an area that I'm really interested in too. And to see the different forms of query language that are being evolved right now, and queries that will search for ordinary text or through ordinary spoken or written text across paragraphs, and with all technical functionality of save specs of camera lens and focal distances all built in, with the way that manufacturers write these things down with their colons and slashes and all this sort of stuff built into a kind of template for search. It's amazing how young people, the modern generation of kind of hackers or developers or pushers or pioneers are actually pushing search in exactly the same kind of way that Google is. I mean, and this is all going to be open source. People are going to learn all these brilliant search methods. They'll go into the various different means of searching just over text. The other one for me that was really outstanding was the number of ways that they've got of visualizing data now.
Yes. It's interesting you say that, because I had put down on my list of things to go and find out about, there was a talk called The Power of Graphs to Analyze Biological Data. And as a one-time biologist, I thought, well, that might sound interesting. I have no idea what it is, but go along and listen. And I found it quite fascinating. I knew nothing really about bioinformatics, which is what this was. But it's largely about dealing with humongous amounts of data and getting sufficient information out of it to make meaningful analyses, meaningful decisions about what it means and what to do about it. They were talking about data, genetic data relating to various cancers and so forth, and how you could identify, you know, various attributes. You could spot that maybe there was a proneness to a cancer in a population of people that hadn't been appreciated before, based on things which were using a graphical analysis, doing a drawing effectively a picture of the data, which was utterly that was amazing.
Yeah.
I don't think I would ever get my head around exactly how to work with it, but I found it quite fascinating that this is the work that's being done.
Mm. And again, search. I mean, the new means that they've got of search, big data, the fact that a lot of it's statistical, but they will then render that in a way that you can visually picture something. And then the choice, the fact that so much complex search is taking place on kind of genetic structure. And then there's all this other and another kind of scale altogether of just looking at people's buying and where they're going and what their interests are. So that we're doing it on the microscopic scale and also on the super macroscopic scale.
Yeah.
Same things, but isn't that a little bit mind-blowing? But from the very, very small to the very, very large.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
I was taken with, you were talking about databases, the prevalence of these NoSQL databases.
Oh, yeah.
This thing.
Incredible.
I tried to go to a talk on schema design in MongoDB to find that it was oversubscribed about three times, judging by the number of people waiting to get into the room. Didn't get to that, but you know, a lot of the stuff was being built on top of MongoDB and equivalents, I think. Mm. That's the cat, by the way. We're in my house at the moment. My cat is demanding attention. So, yeah, that was... I know, not, again, very little about NoSQL databases. Is this an area you've...
No, it's well, but you can see where that's coming from. That's big data and data science and all that area. They have to have these things. In fact, it's just a great way to set up your own alternative to Google to be able to do all these wonderful things that Google has made a business out of.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'd like to get more into this, find out a bit more about it, I have to say.
Mm.
So, the other thing I was going to mention was being a bit of a Perl fanatic. I tried to go to a few of the Perl talks. I only got to one, actually, at the end of the day. It was really hard to get to everything, what with the talks and all the tables.
Tables.
Which had some amazing stuff.
They had amazing things.
I know that Ken has done a whole series of interviews with people. I think he went around all of the different tables and spoke to pretty much everybody about what they were doing. Fascinating stuff.
Mm.
But, so I went to listen to talk about NetLDAP, which is a Perl interface, the LDAP directory system, which was interesting, just for amusement more than anything else. I had decided to go and join in with the key signing process on the Sunday afternoon, which pretty much blocked me out from going to a number of talks that I'd wanted to go to. I'm glad I did, because it was a great, great exercise. I found it most interesting. Met some very interesting people there as well.
Yeah. How long were you there altogether?
About 2 hours, I think, in total. Yeah, it was slower than I expected it to be, but I think there was a fair number of people there.
Yeah,
so
it was brilliant to see them all.
The logistics of it was quite difficult to get right. They did a damn good job, I have to say. But... so it was good to go there, but it would have been nice also to listen to some of the other talks that I never got to.
It wouldn't have been possible. Is it was it 5,000 plus talks?
No, it's 5,000 people. 500 or so talks.
400 lectures.
Yeah.
Lots of hackers. Lots of beer.
There was a fair bit. Yeah, it was a lot on Friday night. Actually, there was a big beer do on. Friday night, that was quite something. But a fair bit of beer floating around in the place itself as well.
Yeah. Right, so 2 days, 400 talks, 200 a day. How could you possibly get to
all know, that? I know. It's just mad. Yeah. I think you mentioned just going back to the venue, the way they did the food there was quite something. I had not envisaged... I thought they were going to have some canteens or something open, it being a university.
Well, I think that would have been a cost. I'm kind of thinking they must have thought, we have to do this on a shoestring. So probably they invited all the... But difference between the United Kingdom and a country like Belgium, the quality of the food, I thought, was pretty good.
It was damn good. Yeah.
It was pretty nice. Yeah.
And if anybody's maybe looked at any of the photographs that are available on... Flickr and so forth, there's quite a lot of them. It was a big as a courtyard in the university where a bunch of fast food vendors had been wheeled up in their various trailers and whatever.
Vegan soup, burgers that were just Epicurean, just lovely to look at.
They were great, and Belgian waffles and
what's a Belgian waffle?
it was quite something. I had not envisaged such a thing. I was quite overwhelmed with it. And, of course, it was mobbed. Absolutely
brilliant.
5,000 people.
And everybody wearing black or grey or yeah. little stubby beard.
It was a wonderful thing. I'm so glad I attended. So, really good.
Yes.
So, would you go back?
Yes.
Will you go back?
Yes, definitely. First of all, I mean, you get a bit isolated when you are you're interested in open source software.
Mm.
But it does seem to have a real life in a way that it didn't have one generation ago.
Yeah,
There are ways that people can make money from it. There's a global community. It's instantaneous. They're in touch. This thing with, for instance, what you've been doing with Mumble and people just being able to talk around the planet at the same time. It's a much more connected, organized group of people working on things now than it was in the past. So that's quite inspiring. It's nice to see their physical bodies and all that stuff,
yeah.
that they're there.
Yeah.
But it's also nice to know that they will disperse and that they will still continue to work in their own, you know, particular areas of gigantic interest.
Yeah.
On their own.
Yeah, I know.
I liked, strangely enough, I liked the human part of it.
Yeah.
More than
too,
anything.
Me too, yeah. There would have been a time I would have been daunted by such a group of quartz hackers.
Yeah.
But really, there were some great people there. People that I did get to speak to and so on, and particularly in the key signing thing. Really, really great people.
I'm glad you made a program about that. I'd like to hear that. I'm looking forward to that.
It's due next week, I think, in the schedule of things.
Well, good luck.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thanks, Tom. That's good. It was fun to be there. I'm glad you managed to make it. It was fun to meet up with you there
and
hang out a bit and stuff.
Yeah.
So well, let's hope we can do it again next year.
Next year. All right.
Okay.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever considered recording a podcast, then visit our website to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club. HPR is funded by the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. All BinRev projects are proudly sponsored by Lunar Pages. From shared hosting to custom private clouds, go to lunarpages.com for all your hosting needs. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.